We have a special guest walking into the studio. Here is the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for dropping in.
Neighborhood.
You were.
We know you love this show.
Todd Halushko, Gary Bettman. Have you two ever met?
I've never met him in passing. I think with the draft, he said a quick hello, but he was busy. He had a lot of
Todd is silver medalist at the 1994 Olympic Games.
Very nice.
So you know where his loyalties lie right now.
It's fascinating to hear how energetic and animated you guys are in training camps.
Well,
you know,
we have had 4 months off.
Well, you know what,
yeah,
Gary?
But that could have lulled you.
You know what's really cool? And I watched the game
today.
From the
look of you from the waist down, you're still wearing shorts. you think you're still on vacation.
Revealing secrets.
Okay, Gary, let's cut.
Because this is a tournament that's held only in Toronto, two games a day. The fans have been able to come in, settle in, watch 5-6 days if they want to, 3 or 4 days. But
go to the fan village, come in from all around the world.
Basically within walking distance.
Yes.
So I drive in and walk going through downtown. Fans have their sweaters on. You see players in their tracksuits walk into the rink. It's got a real cool feel to it.
It's a big deal. And since we hadn't done the World Cup in more than a decade, the plan was, I mean, we could have done it in a number of cities, but creating the atmosphere, the buzz, having the fan village, doing the legacy projects that we've been doing, it was all a part of reminding people that, done right, this is a really big event.
Could it, you know, I don't know what the numbers are, 17 games over 10 days, could it really be done somewhere else, do you think, with the fan base, the hockey history? Do you think it, I mean,
we don't know.
We don't know, do we?
We believe that we could do it here.
Because
this is Toronto,
and it's
and I believe that judgment has been vindicated. I'm not sure that there are a lot of cities, maybe even if any, that we could have done it like this and gotten as big a reception, because 17 games potentially is a big thing. Particularly, there are other events going on, you know. So we're very pleased. The reception, the reaction, has been phenomenal.
I guess I look at the tournament and I'm thinking, okay, I guess I'm sort of not old school, but I love watching USA play Canada. I've really, really liked North American playing, the North American group.
Which won you over?
Yes. Which won me over? No, I've always loved the North American. I didn't like the Team Europe concept. I didn't like that.
But not the other.
Well, I know it isn't, because I wanted to see the young superstars, and I think you've got as good a group of young superstars as we've had in the league in a long time, as a collection of them.
We say that every year, but that's.
But
okay.
I was trying.
This McLean Bettman thing's on again.
I was walking here today, and I'm trying to think. We know from being at the World Championships how much that means to the European players.
Yeah.
The World Champ. We know how much the Olympics mean to the European players. I was really anxious to see what this would mean to the European players, a World Cup. You know what I mean? Because it is a dramatic difference, and it's a change for most of these players. They've competed. Your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, I forget who it was, but one of the players on Team Europe said, you know, like you, skeptical at first, but then we started playing together, and then we won a game, and I actually, whoever the player was, beat a team I've never been able to beat in my life. Yeah. And in fact, as you know, by having the two composite teams, each of them are more competitive than the seventh and eighth countries would have been. Yeah. It also gave us an opportunity to have more of our NHL players participate, you know, having Chara, who might not have been in it, Kopitar, who might not have been in it. Right. And so of the 183 roughly players participating in the World Cup, 169 are NHL players. This is truly the best-on-best international hockey tournament that perhaps there's ever been.
So are you more apt to do this, use this format again? I know you guys are in the midst of this tournament, but from what you've seen, the success of these hybrid teams.
You know what? We've got to take a deep breath when it's all over, evaluate it, think about what was really good, think about what maybe we can do better, where we want to be, what the format should be, do we want to have qualification games? There are a whole series of things. We're still focusing on the fact that we planned to bring, as I said before, we plan to bring the World Cup back and reestablish it as a major competition. I think we've been successful in doing that. What's next? Who knows? Other than we're going to continue to do World Cups on a regular basis in whatever format and however geographically we decide to do it. We're probably going to institute another type of international competition that we hope will be exciting and intriguing both for the players and fans. And this is really the foundation of restarting our efforts internationally, which are important to us as a league, to our players who love representing their countries, and to our fans throughout the world. And let's not forget that roughly 25% of our players come from outside of North America, and we think it's good to continue to encourage the development of world-class players.
Let's bring Toddie
in. Yeah, I'll jump in here. You guys are so good here. I was going to ask you one question. Is we had a little bit of a debate. You know, obviously, the quick exit of USA, for me, it sucks because I love watching them. I wanted to see a battle go on, and everyone, I'm sure, else did as well. But I had a theory that I think just the timing of it, maybe in September, maybe one of the reasons why this team didn't come together like they did. I'm just wondering, down the road, is there any possibility that maybe the September tournament, I know it'd be difficult, but it ends up being played in February where you close the league down for a little bit, just as a future. Is that a possibility?
You know, shutting the league down in the middle of the season isn't on our top list of fun things to do.
We can't even get it every 4 years. We don't want it.
But it's a good question, but I also think, listen, I used this quote at one of our symposiums earlier this morning. You know, success has 1,000 parents and failure is an orphan. So it's easy to second guess the U.S. team, and that's not fair to everybody who worked very hard on putting the team together. Whatever the strategy was, it didn't come together. But the fact that it's September, there are still other teams that are playing and not having a September problem. I just don't think, for whatever reason, the expectations that the U.S. had for themselves were fulfilled.
You know, and I was sort of chuckling last night thinking about
the, you chuckle?
The mass. When he's alone, by myself, and nobody can see it. I don't want to hurt my persona.
When you're not chewing on glass?
I'm a little bit like, you. We don't laugh a lot.
I laugh all the time.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just not when I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly. You don't find me that funny. Mid-season form.
I think you're a riot, actually.
But anyway, you know what? I chuckle about the USA hockey right now, thinking the Tortorella criticism and the management criticism. And I think, you know, for me, I'm sorry, they weren't good enough.
That happens.
Today, they weren't good enough. But I look at USA hockey, and we just talked about it briefly before you come on. Has there ever been a brighter time for USA hockey when you look at the 6 or 10 or 20 young kids that are stars in the league already?
Listen, as you know, having run an expansion team in a new market, the fact that the number one player in the draft, the last draft, comes from Arizona, which he'll tell you wouldn't have happened if the Coyotes weren't there. But that's part of what we're so happy about, having the world gathering here with us, the World Cup. It's why we put on these Hockey Sense symposiums and conferences, because it's a great time to talk about the development of the game and the growth of the game. Game's never been stronger. It's never been played by more people in more places. And that all bodes extraordinarily well for the game. And yes, we are so fortunate to have so many great young kids coming into the game. But I also think that's a function of the style of play that we effectuated a dozen years ago when we changed the rules and we had a new system that enabled all teams to afford to be competitive. It encouraged the development of speed and skill and a more entertaining style of play.
Gary Bettman is with us on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network in the United States, along with Todd Telushko, Doug McLean. I'm Darren Millard. Olympics, just, we won't spend a lot of time on this because
whatever time you want.
I just don't know whether there's a lot that you can say on it.
That's probably
based
true.
On the conversation with Ron last night. But the NBA went.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the relationship there is with the IOC? And does the IOC cover their travel and the insurance?
No. But they don't stop their season either.
That's the main point.
And also, my understanding is, and I'm not sure it's accurate, is the NBA has ability to do things with FIBA commercially that kind of helps them deal with the monetary aspects. So everybody's clear, we don't get paid for going to the Olympics. We never have. That's not the issue. But things like insurance.
But you don't lose money. They cover
I mean,
costs.
As I've said, because the insurance is expensive, the transportation is expensive, what the players expect in terms of their treatment for them and their family and their guests, that's expensive, but it's been picked up for the last five Olympics. My guess is, you know, with Thomas Bach leading the IOC, on some level, maybe he's afraid if they keep doing it, the other sports are going to ask for it, even though we're different in terms of number of players, in terms of our importance in the Winter Games, and in terms of the fact that we have to shut down to do it. And I dare say that if I took a vote of the owners and it had to do with the question of should we pay for the privilege of shutting down in the middle of the season out of pocket for the expenses, I don't think there'd be much enthusiasm for that. And the enthusiasm in general is kind of mixed about...
Any businessman would go with that, right?
But... And you're the guy.
But by the way, one last thing. But we have been going, even though I can give you a litany of reasons it hasn't been great for the league, because we think it's been good on some level for the game worldwide.
But you're the guy that's going to stand in front of the board, and I know you report to the executive. I get all that. But you're the guy that's going to stand in front of the executive and say, we should go. You're the one going to make the recommendation.
Well, but
and they and 99.9% of the time,
yeah,
they agree with you.
And Doug,
unless it's changed.
No. Doug, and you've been in the meetings. If they agree with me, it's typically because I give them good reasons. Okay, and I explain to them
why the
recommendation makes sense.
Right.
When you get into situations where it's kind of dicey as to whether or not it makes sense, it's not so. And I'm not sure I would make a recommendation that doesn't make sense.
I almost fall off. I'm sorry, Todd. I have one more question.
That you're,
I almost fall off my chair when I see.
Then everybody will see your shorts.
You and Donald Fear, the camaraderie, the affection, the. It just doesn't seem right to me, and yet is it really happening or what? Like, I mean, seriously, there's too much respect between you there.
Well, there's respect both professionally and personally. We've known each other for, I don't know, 30, 35 years.
Yeah.
But let's get something straight. Well, there are lots of things we can do together and agree upon. My guess is we don't agree on everything. Okay, and depending on the timing and the issues, you know, the respect will be there, the professionalism will be there, the lines of communication are open, which is a good thing. I think there's a level of trust that we can believe each other, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to agree on everything.
Yeah, that makes me feel better.
Todd Olushko.
By the way, if I can make you feel better, then my day is made.
Greg, I get to come back and throw the softball questions at you. I'll let Doug handle the hard ones. I was just the pre-tournament exhibition game that was in Quebec City.
Yeah.
Obviously, we saw a great turnout. They sell it out. You see the passion, the fans there again.
This is the softball question?
Well, it's kind of something of a softball
question. He's a hard-nosed player.
No, but what I'm saying is, I mean, you saw what was going on, and I understand the economics of expansion and stuff like that. We know that they didn't get it right now. But does that kind of reaffirm seeing the fan support and the love of the game down there that if it does happen, whether it's expansion, relocation, Quebec is the next destination?
We've never doubted the passion of our fans in Quebec City. Or the desire of Quebecor to be an owner under the right circumstances, or the fact that there's a terrific new arena. But there are a whole host of other factors in an expansion decision. It's a major, difficult, complex decision. And obviously, we're well aware of the interest in Quebec City. Could never doubt it.
Yeah. What's happening with the Las Vegas nickname?
They're working on it. If I told you what the nickname would like to be, people would run out and try and register it. They'd start making bootleg merchandise. Mm-hmm. And so you can't announce a name until, A, you're buttoned down. Actually, B, more importantly, you've got to make sure it's a name that you can control and have the rights to. And in this day and age, there's a lot of trademark issues that have to be dealt with before you can announce the name. But
has Bill Foley really gone out and registered a couple that don't have a chance just to try and throw people off?
Oh, I don't know what Bill Foley's done. I don't track everything he does, but he is going to be a terrific owner, and he's excited about the league. He's excited about Las Vegas, and I think we're all going to have some fun with this.
From a business perspective of Vegas, I'm always intrigued by the fact that
when he adjusts his glasses, Columbus, you know something's coming.
Columbus paid $80 million for their franchise. And
turned out to be a really good deal, huh?
It turned out to be a great deal for them, yeah. And and now, you know, and typically the way it was in the past that you had to pay 50% towards the cost of a franchise. So if it's right and you are leveraging $250 million of this franchise, or if you paid it all, a $500 million fee, that is an unbelievable business challenge to make that work financially.
That's what franchises are worth. And by the way, you know, we have lots of franchises that are worth multiples of that. And if you look at what's happening...
But not expansion franchises, Gary.
No, expansion franchises too. It's a right to own. In his case, he's going to own 1/31st of the National Hockey League and all the revenues that are generated nationally. I mean, he is going to be a full partner. And there's a value to that, and I sincerely doubt that at a lesser number, the board would have approved it.
They will not be taking money from the revenue sharing. They'll correct. Be over that.
That's correct.
Congratulations.
It's a great year. It's a milestone year once we get it going with the regular season. I know people in Winnipeg are so excited about the Heritage Classic.
It's going to be great.
Winter Classic coming
to Toronto. And we're excited about the Centennial starting. Yes. 100 years. Can you believe it? The league's almost as old as Doug.
Yeah, what was that first year like, Doug?
It was...
I love those tackleberry skates. Commissioner Gary
Frank Bettman. Brown was here. Dude, what are you laughing at, Brown? You were around long before I was.
Thanks for joining us, being here, busting Doug in the shorts, and we'll catch up with you throughout the World Cup.
Great to be with
Congratulations.
You guys.
Congratulations. There's Commissioner Gary Bettman chatting about the World Cup and the centennial year coming up in the world of the National Hockey League and the World Cup of Hockey.